This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. Alhamdulillah, رب العالمين. All praises due to Allah, who has blessed us with faith, who has blessed us to be amongst the people who choose to follow prophetic guidance. Imam Shafi'i, one of our great scholars, a legal genius, and one of the great legal minds in the history of humanity, mentioned that there is a single chapter in the Quran, if nothing else in the Quran had been revealed, then this chapter would have sufficed humanity. What is that chapter? It's the following. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal 'asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. By the testimony of time, or by the declining day, وَالْعَصْرِ. Surely humanity is lost, is in loss, a state of loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ except those who believe, illa alladhina amanu, and perform righteous deeds, wa amilu salihat, and they counsel each other with truth, wa tawasaw bil haqq, and they counsel each other with patience, wa tawasaw bis sabr. It behooves us when someone of the stature of a Shafi'i, rahimahullah, mentions this chapter in such a powerful way that it alone would suffice humanity. So let us examine this chapter briefly. It starts with Asr. So we mention either by the declining day. This would indicate a time of transition. If we're looking at the 24-hour cycle, when the day is transitioning into the night, transition is the true illustration of power. It takes less power to sustain something than to initiate something. So it's during these times of initiation, initiating the night, initiating the day, initiating our lives as humans. Human beings can delude themselves. We can delude ourselves into thinking we are creating something. So we've created a test tube baby. We've engaged in a sex change. It's a delusion. Why? Because a person, not questioning their motivation, but when a person has a series of surgeries and a series of hormonal treatments, their essence as a male or female, their XY or their XX essence, which is an affirmation of the gender binary they're trying to deny, it doesn't change. The surgery doesn't change it. The hormones don't try and change it. The XX or the XY that defined them at birth, it endures. But the point is, we can manipulate all we want. But we could say we made a test tube baby. We took a drop of sperm out of a human being and we took an egg from a female human being and we put it in an artificial environment and then we cultivated life. But can we start from nothing? and create that sperm drop? Can we start from nothing? And not nothing in terms of the dirt or elements or some gas, from absolute nothing. كَانَ اللَّهَ وَلَا شَيْءَ مَعْهُ وَهُوَ الْآنْ عَلَى مَا عَلَيْهِ كَانَ. There was Allah and there was nothing along with Allah. And in his oneness, he is now as he was then. But he brought all of this about from absolute nothing. مِنَ الْعَدَمْ إِلَى الْوُجُودِ بِأَمْرِهِ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. We didn't do it. We might delude ourselves into thinking we can manipulate it. So, well, Asr, Allah has the power to change nothingness into existence. Allah has the power to change the night into the day. Allah has the power to change the day into the night. وَالْضُّحَى وَالْعَصْرِ. Transition. Or, as we said, signs. وَالْعَصْرِ. The ages, by the testimony of the age. Every age has miraculous events that if we reflect on them, we will have no conclusion except La ilaha illallah. To give a few that we're familiar with, and then two that occurred in most of our lifetimes, the adults here. The first is, and they're both associated with human, our delusion that scientific prowess frees us from the power of Almighty God. That scientific progress changes the reality of what Allah mentions in the Quran. أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. O humanity, you are in desperate need of your Lord, and your Lord is free of all need, worthy of all praise. So the first we'll mention is the Titanic. Towards the beginning of the 20th century, when humans are in their hubris, are unlocking the secrets of the physical world, and based on this hubris, think that they can build an unsinkable ship. And they advertise the Titanic as an unsinkable ship, the safest ship ever built, two massive steel hulls, a massive structure, the unsinkable ship. And on its maiden voyage, its very first journey, what happens? It sinks. They're engineered for everything. They're engineered for a head-on collision. They're engineered for being broadsided. They're engineered for a giant wave, massive waves that occur in the oceans without a tsunami. They're engineered for everything except one thing. There was one thing they didn't account for, and it was that one thing that sunk that ship. That if it were to pass a massive iceberg that hit it at right angle that could slice through the double steel hull like a razor. And on its very first journey, the one thing they didn't engineer for was the one thing that Allah decreed to sink the unsinkable ship. La ilaha illallah. And in the lifetime of most adults here, our scientific prowess deludes us into thinking that we can make space travel so safe and so predictable because we've run all our algorithms through the computers and we've accounted for every contingency. So we're going to have a school teacher teach a class from outer space on the Challenger. As if in our delusion, we're challenging the power and the authority and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what happens? 90 seconds into the mission, with all the school children watching, because the teacher, Diane McAuliffe, is going into space and she's going to teach you a lesson. So let's tune in and watch. 90 seconds in, it blows up. Even more insightful. And this shows the power. Two space shuttles blew up, one when it was leaving the Earth and one when it was in transition. Not when it's safely on the ground, and not when it's orbiting in the Earth, around the Earth. But the tremendous energy that it takes to get that thing off the ground, to move it from a motionless state into the state of movement. You need booster rockets. And it was one of the booster rockets that failed. Coming back into the Earth, the tremendous heat transitioning from outer space back into Earth atmosphere, the Columbia. That boasts the first Israeli to go on an American space mission. His last name, Ramon, I forget his first name, who was the lead pilot on the Israeli mission to blow up the Iraqi nuclear reactor. The mission is concluding. They're entering Earth's atmosphere. And what happens to the space mission with the first Israeli on a space shuttle? It blows up over Palestine, Texas. Google it. It blew up over Palestine, Texas. And most people say that's a coincidence. I said, La ilaha illallah. Allah is sending us reminders. Well, asr. There are signs in every age. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Humanity is lost. Again, we think we don't need Allah. It's the name, it's the age of atheism. Our Muslim children losing their faith behind clowns who rejected in their fields of study marginal figures like Richard Dawkins or Sam Harris or Dennis Dinette or Christopher Hitchens and the rest of them. We don't need God. Where has not needing God led us morally? In this country specifically, every day there's someone who's murdering their fellow human beings. There's most of them don't even make the news. Every day. This happened yesterday or the day before, and then ones that don't make the news. What have we done to our environment? We don't need God. No sense of stewardship. Generally, at the high levels, yes, there's an environmental ecological movement. But in terms of human beings in general, our approach to the environment, we're creating an unlivable planet. Why? Because we're so selfish. We're so greedy. We seek comfort. And comfort comes with a price. An air-conditioned home comes with a price. An SUV. We have two babies now. The same one who says we have two children now, so we need an SUV. A gas-guzzling vehicle is the same person who grew up in a family where seven or eight people were squeezed into a Fiat or a Toyota Corolla. But they need an SUV with no consideration of the ecological consequences. These are illustrations of our loss when we don't think about our fellow species. We don't think about our fellow humans. We want to drink Coca-Cola in India. So the Coca-Cola factory is sucking more groundwater out of the earth than humans are consuming. These are illustrations of our loss. We make bombs as a business. They say war is bad for business unless you're in the business of war. After the brutality and the carnage that we witnessed in Gaza, what did human beings in our country do? Sell them another $1 billion worth of bombs. Why? Because they might not be morally, not see the moral injustice in that. No, because the politics and the money dictate that particular decision. If you're in the business of war, you have to deplete your industry, your inventory, or you're going out of business. And you deplete your inventory by bombing people in Gaza or Afghanistan or wherever. This is the loss of humanity, where bombs and the billions made of dollars selling bombs mean more than human beings and human lives. There's only one escape. There's only one escape. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Faith is the escape. Faith is the escape because Allah Ta'ala, or even in other traditions, in the Bible, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's possessions. And in a global village, we're all neighbors. Imperialistic policies have no religious foundation. In the Quran, don't murder the life that Allah has made sacred. If you kill a life, it's as if extinguishing all of humanity. We want to do something about what we see in the world. We're riled up about the situation in Palestine or elsewhere. One of the best things we can do is reinforce the concept of civilian immunity during conflict. And if we embrace that, and this is something Islam embraces, then there will be no moral foundation for the situation we saw in Gaza. There'll be no moral foundation for the rockets Hamas fired that become a justification for this inhumane retaliation. There'll be no moral justification for murdering 85 girls in a school. There'll be no moral justification for destroying entire countries. And as weapons of war become more destructive and more evil, they have weapons, they experimented with in Iraq. They're finding bodies of dead people with no physical damage. You're finding electromagnetic discs mounted on a truck in the vicinity. They're experimenting on weapons to send electromagnetic beams from outer space to scramble people's brains. They have neutron bombs that don't destroy buildings but kill people. And as this madness proceeds, if we don't have the moral and the ethical foundation to govern our actions, and that doesn't come from science. Science tells us how, but religion tells us why. Science can't tell us why. Science can show us how to make a nuclear bomb, but religion tells us that's a wrong action, and if it did happen, it should never be used. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except those who believe and do righteous deeds, which are the opposite of evil deeds. It is evil. And we are in this country. We are citizens. We pay tax dollars. that if our niyyah isn't right, my tax, the intention is to fix the bridges and the roads, and the al-amalu bin niyyat, and not to buy bombs. But to conclude, we have to do the rest of it another day, next time, inshallah. But to just make this final point, that we decry the Israelis blowing up sewage treatment plants, power generation plants, medical supply buildings, the COVID vaccination centers, etc. And we condemn it rightfully. But it's the same thing we did in Iraq systematically for 12 years. Do we condemn that? We blew up the sewage treatment plants knowing people would be forced to drink dirty water from the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, and knowing it will cause diarrhea and dysentery and typhoid, and people would die, particularly children. Over 1 million children. 1998, our Secretary of State admitted to 500,000. The policy went on for twice as long after that, knowing 1 million children would die. So we have to be committed to righteous deeds. We have to reject evil deeds. We have to reject evil thoughts and philosophies that underlie the evil deeds. Because at the end of the day, what we're engaged in right now, my dear brothers and sisters, is a battle of ideas. It's a battle of ideas. It's not a battle of bombs and bullets, because the ideas determine whether the bombs or bullets are used or not. And when Allah describes the victory of Islam, He doesn't talk about conquest or bombing and blowing things up. وَكَلِمَةُ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا. The word of Allah is uppermost. The word of Allah is uppermost. May Allah give us tawfiq and taysir. May Allah accept our actions. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect all of our brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just in Islam, in humanity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to begin to think about our situation in different ways, ways that are not informed by the hegemonic nature of the materialistic culture and civilization that envelops us, but ideas that are informed by faith and informed by scripture and informed by the prophetic legacy.